Matthew chapter 13, there Jesus relates a parable that is very familiar to each one. Beginning in verse 3 of Matthew 13, he said, the text says, "He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." This parable is then explained over in the latter part of the chapter, beginning in verse 18. Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. I want us to look at the parable of the sower and see if we can learn some lessons from this particular parable, the teaching of our Lord, and make some application of these principles to our lives. In Luke, the 8th chapter, in verse 11, where Luke records this parable, he said, "The seed of the kingdom is the word of God." In John 17, verse 17, the text says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The seed of the kingdom, the word of God, is pure. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Every word of God is pure. And the seed of the kingdom, the word of God, is indeed pure. There are no impurities whatsoever in the seed of the kingdom. I remember back when I was just a boy and we planted cotton. My dad set the planter where it would just plant a lot of seeds. And one of the reasons why he did this is because the seed was not guaranteed back then. No guaranteed germination. The seed that you plant today, most of it, farmers plant, it has guaranteed germination. They don't have to plant near as many seed in the seed bed. A lot of it came up, and that's the reason we had to do what they call chopping cotton. We had to cut out the plants that we didn't want, space them out. But I remember one of the reasons why so many seeds were planted was because of the fact that it was not guaranteed to germinate. Some of the seed was not good seed. And I always wondered, because it looked like all of it came up when I was hoeing, but that's the point was made. All the seed wasn't good. And we have dealt with that kind of thing for many years, many centuries. But in regard to the seed of the kingdom, the word of God, there's no problem at all with the seed. The problem is with the soil. It depends on the condition of the soil for it to produce fruit. And we're going to talk some more about that as we continue our study. In this particular parable, there are four different kinds of soil that are represented, and the soil represent the kind of hearts of individuals. And in these four different kinds of soil, every heart can find itself represented. You can put yourself in one of these different kinds of soils. And so think about that as we continue the study. One of them applies to us, if we're honest with ourselves. hopefully we can make some application of these principles in our lives that will help us to grow and to develop and to produce fruit. So think about the parable of the sower. And the text says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Behold, a sower went forth to sow. This idea involves activity. Look. The word behold just means look. Perceive. Someone went to do something. He went forth to sow. What did he sow? He sowed seed. It fell in different places, but the sower sowed seed, as we noted in Luke 8 to verse 11. The seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. When Jesus explained in the parable in Luke's account, he said, Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. This is the explanation for the seed. New life is impossible without seed. You know, you don't expect to go down to your garden and see watermelon plants if you didn't put any watermelon seed in there. Now, I didn't plant any watermelon seed, so I don't go down looking for any watermelons, because I didn't put any seed in the ground that produces watermelons. Now, I put some other seeds in the ground and they produced. But we understand that it's impossible for new life to come forth without seed. Peter was saying, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Remember we said the seed is pure. It's not corruptible seed. It can't be corrupted. But of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This seed is the word of God. It is incorruptible. You cannot contaminate. You cannot taint. It remains pure. Now, yes, I know that people teach doctrines of men. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men." But they're not the Word of God. The Word of God is pure. No impurities in it whatsoever. And so the seed of the kingdom was sown. The word behold means to see, to call attention to. That's what Jesus is pointing out to his disciples. Look, here's what's happening. A sower went forth to sow. A sower could be a preacher, could be a teacher, any Christian who would do their part, who would make an effort to spread the kingdom by teaching the Word of God. Sowing seed of the kingdom. Teaching the Word of God. You are a sower. Not soil testers. We're seed sowers. Yes, I know that there are times when we can look at the fruit of individuals and we can know sort of what kind of heart that person has. Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." And so we can tell sometimes the kind of character, the kind of person one might be. But we can't tell whether their heart will be receptive to the Word of God or not. We can't look into their heart. We simply have to sow the seed and let it fall where it will. A sower went forth to sow, spreading the Word of God. Went forth implies action on the part of the sower. We can't get the job done, as my dad used to say, sitting on the stoop of do nothing and whittling on the stick of do less. Probably you hadn't heard that one before, but I heard it quite frequently when I was a child. When I would be lazing around doing nothing. And the expression my dad used, he's whittling on the stick and do nothing and sitting on the stool to do less.
So this won't get the job done. There has to be some activity. We have to involve ourselves in teaching, actively trying to teach, to reach someone with the Word of God. Now, it may be that the way you're teaching is simply by the kind of life that you're living. And Peter makes it clear that the wife can win her unbelieving husband by the kind of life that she lives. He said, without the word, it may be won by the conversation or the manner of life of the wife. And so, yes, we teach by the way that we live. But we also need to be involved in conveying orally or in written word the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God. Actively involved in doing something. And the idea of to sow involves purpose. You've got a reason for going forward. You're not just going out helter-skelter with no plan in mind. Congregation need to make some plans to decide on a particular course of action as to how they're going to put forth the effort to spread the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, in the community in which they are part. A lot of different means and methods that can be used in spreading the gospel of Christ, sowing the seed of the kingdom. The sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, here's the result. When he sowed, he did what he intended to do. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, verse 19 of the text. Some seed fell by the wayside. This is simply the footpath or the road that was traveled by the workers. When I was growing up, we called it the field road. Went around the edge of the field and went from the house over to the field. And grass grew in the middle of it, but didn't grow in the ruts because it was used. It was packed hard. Seed wouldn't penetrate. And that's the idea involved here, this hard surface. The seed could not penetrate. The Hebrew writer talks about this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. He said, but exhort one another daily what's called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Jesus talked about these scribes and Pharisees. Their heart was waxed gross. Their hearts were hardened. They wouldn't hear. They couldn't understand. They didn't see with their eyes or hear with their ears. They couldn't understand with their heart because their heart was hardened. Their mind was closed. Matthew chapter 13, there at verse 15, when Jesus is talking about these people, he said, this prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in them. By hearing, you shall hear, shall not understand. Seeing, you shall see, and shall not perceive. Well, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. That's any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Hearts become so hardened. Conscience becomes seared over. And people almost are unable to hear and understand. Because their heart has become so hardened. And in the text it said the fowls came and devoured the seed. And when Jesus explained this, he talked about this being the devil. The heart was so hard it wouldn't receive the word. And then he said the devil come and take it away the seed. When he explained the parable to them, he talked about the seed falling by the wayside. Then he says, this is the devil. In verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casteth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The wicked one, of course, is the devil, Satan himself. He's right there at every turn, waiting, doing his best to keep people from understanding and knowing the Word of God. As you think about this today, there are many who will not hear the Word of God. Some are made aware of what the Scripture says. They literally hear, they don't have a problem with their hearing. They can hear words and they can understand words, but they don't accept it. They hear the word that's taught, but they never receive it and obey it. You remember in Acts, the second chapter, it says, then they gladly received his word. There were a lot of people on the day of Pentecost who heard the word who did not respond. There were 3,000 people that were saved on that occasion that were baptized. But there was probably 10, maybe even 20 times that many people in the city of Jerusalem for this feast. And that's why the text says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. It takes the disposition of heart, a willingness, a readiness to receive the seed. There are many, even in our assemblies, from time to time, who are supposed to be listening to the Word of God, who don't really listen. They allow their minds to wander from this thing to that thing, and I'll be the first to admit that our minds are cluttered with a lot of things today. We have more things going on in our lives today than in my lifetime I have ever known, or even my parents' lifetime, my grandparents' lifetime. I've never known of a society that has more things going on in their lives on a regular basis than we do today. In fact, I was thinking just the other day about all the people that we know, almost literally all over the United States and in a lot of different places in foreign countries. People that we know, that we're friends with, that we have contact with through various media on a fairly regular basis. We're aware of the things that's going on in their lives that 50 years ago people would never have known. We just got this information from a lady in Pekin, Illinois. Her husband died last year, I guess it was. They sold the house, disposed of all the furniture, and the guy that bought the house hasn't rented. 57 years ago, that kind of information would not have been passed on to someone 600 miles away. We get information from a young lady over in Moscow, Russia. Found out she's going to be in Washington to visit her parents the same time we're going to be there. So we'll get to see her. We share information so readily, and it's available, and we're just bombarded at all times with the things going on in people's lives, and we're just so busy, involved in all kinds of things. And so, sometimes the Word of God is put sort of on the back burner. God's Word does not have the focal point in our lives so many times that it ought to have. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How much time do we spend with the Word of God in making it a part of our lives? Without understanding, there is no reception. You can't receive something you don't understand. I hear people talk about our modern means of communication. Visiting with a friend this past week, and was talking about the means of communication that we have, and that we sort of hobble our way through sometimes And he said, I just don't understand. Well, I don't either. There's a lot about it that I don't understand. The things that my children, especially my grandchildren, can do with cell phones that I don't have a clue. I don't understand. Before I can do anything with it, I have to understand. And my sons have been very patient with me through the years in trying to help me to understand so that I can be able to use some of the modern technology without their help in explaining to me so that I can understand. I can't receive it. I can't process it. Same thing is true with the Word of God. You have to be able to understand it. That's the reason it takes time. Study it. Paul told Timothy to meditate on these things. The word meditate means revolving things around in your mind. Sometimes when we're going to do a particular thing, we tell somebody, well, let me sleep on it. We know what that phrase means. We want to think about it. Put some time into trying to understand and to trying to digest a particular thing. And so that's what we had to do with the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God. When the sower sowed, some fell on the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. The stony ground, in verses 20 and 21, he that received the seed into stony places, same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution riseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. This ground received the word. The wayside, the word was not received at all. In the stony ground, the word was received and it sprung up quickly. The implication is there that the word was obeyed. They became children of God, but the ground was shallow. Their faith, it seems, sprung from just shallow emotion, when it should come from deep conviction. And yes, emotions are involved in our service to the Lord. I have a lesson I do sometimes in regard to emotion. We have to allow our emotions to be involved in our response to the Lord, but it has to go further than just emotion. This soil had rocks underneath. The seed could not go deep. And so the point to make is the soil was not properly prepared. There were doubts, fears. These are the kind of things that we must get rid of. There can be no doubt in the power, the veracity of God's Word. Remember Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As written, the just by faith shall live. Because there was no depth of earth, the sun came up, and the plants withered and died. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, there in verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Suffering. Scripture very plainly teaches us all that believe God in Christ Jesus shall suffer affliction. There will be persecution, there will be trials. Paul would write in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that we all are going to suffer persecution. Every Christian, all those who are doing their best to live godly, will endure persecution. Some will not stand. Some will be offended, as the text points out here. When tribulation or persecution rises because of the word, the tribulation and persecution come because of the word. When we receive the word of God, we become a part of the family of God. then those who are outside the body of Christ and those who would seek to turn us away from the Lord are there at every turn. That's the devil working. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The devil is there at every turn. Now remember, these people received this with joy. They were glad when they received the word, but there was no depth of earth. The roots could not go down deep. Their convictions were not strong. And so they were zealous for a period of time, and then when the going got rough, they fell away. When their friends began to ridicule them because they were trying to be good, diligent students of God's word, to follow His will and everything, they're not doing, as Peter talked about, not running with the same excess of riot. They speak evil of you. People begin to make fun of you. Then they fell away. Trials and tribulation caused them to fall away. Then there are those who fell among the thorns. Again, the word was heard, it was received. This indicates obedience. Remember, Acts chapter 2, then they gladly received His word, were baptized. When one receives the word of God gladly, then they submit to and obey the commands that God has set forth. But again, these did not bring forth fruit to perfection. But for a different reason. These good plants were choked by the thorns. He talks about the deceitfulness of riches in Matthew chapter 6, there at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one, despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus here talks about riches being deceitful. Verse 22. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now notice the idea involved in that last phrase, he becometh unfruitful. The implication is that he did bear fruit, but not much. He became unfruitful because the plant was choked by the thorns. When our children were younger, we had horses, and they rode horses and showed in 4-H horse shows. Well, remember, church allowed us to make a corn crop with him on the halves. He furnished the equipment and the seed and the ground, and we did the work. And when the corn came up, it had a lot of cockleburrs in it. Cockleburrs had to be cut out. Our daughter didn't like that. Well, none of us really liked it, but she said, I don't want a horse anymore. I said, don't matter. You're still going to cut cockleburrs. Because they'll grow up and they'll choke the corn and it won't produce as good. We understood that. That's the point Jesus makes here. You got to get rid of those weeds. Got to clean your life up. Or else you can't be fruitful. The deceitfulness, cares of this world, riches. You cannot care for the world and God at the same time. The two are incompatible with each other. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. You're either gathering with me or you're scattering abroad. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. It's all or nothing. But remember now, this word was understood, it was received. There's other interest caused it to be unfruitful. There are a lot of people today who have ceased serving the Lord. I can name you a bunch of them. My memory's not real good, but I can name several just from memory. who at one time were faithful Christians, but for various reasons left the Lord. And I'm sure you probably do know some too. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas had more concern for the things of the world than he did for the things of truth and right, to serve the Lord. Remember, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We cannot allow ourselves to be conformed to the world. The world is there trying to get our attention at every turn. It's a battle. It's a daily fight to keep the world at bay. But some fell on good ground. He that receiveth seed in good ground, and he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Isaiah said God's word will accomplish his purpose. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. He said, for as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but water the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that going forth out of my mouth. What's the prophet talking about here? The word of God will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. That's what he said. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. There's power in the gospel of Christ. There's power to do what God intended for it to do from the very beginning. This seed is received into the good heart. This good soil. It's been prepared to receive the word. It was heard, it was understood. And it brought forth fruit. Fruit with patience. Three kinds of hearts obeyed it. They received the word, obeyed it, but were not fruitful. Only one kind of soil brought forth fruit. But you notice it said with patience, and you can't expect harvest overnight. It takes time. I don't remember how many weeks ago I planted the purple hull of peas, but I've just now, in the last few days, begun reaping the harvest. It takes time. Yeah. Seed has to germinate, plant come up, grow, bloom, and produce fruit. Some things take a lot more time than others. He said in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, the like figure and even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That puts us into the body of Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for many of you, as have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. We become a part of the family of God. He adds us to his church, Acts 2, verse 47. Those that gladly received the word were baptized, and the Lord added them to church. Verse 47 says. They became Christian. But then there's work that must be done in adding qualities to our life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, what's come referred to as the Christian graces. Add your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godly kindness, brother kindness love. He goes on to say, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that shall need to be barren and unfruitful to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. if you have these qualities in your life, you won't be unfruitful. You won't be barren. But he that lacketh these things is blind, he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. It takes time, it takes work, it takes diligence in serving the Lord. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, there at verse 9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The word was heard, it was understood, it received, it was bearing fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. The point here is that not all people bear the same amount of fruit. But all Christians, all faithful Christians, bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, you're not a faithful child of God. You've allowed something to hinder you to keep you from being what you ought to be. We need to bear as much fruit as is possible. In Matthew chapter 25, we'll not take the time to turn there and read this, but there in the parable of the talents, these talents represent a sum of money, and they were given to each one according to their several abilities. Some had more ability than others. To one he gave one talent, to another two, to another five. When he came back and reckoned with his servants, he reckoned with them according to their ability. The one that had two, he didn't gain ten. The one that five gained five others, he had ten. The one that had two talents, he just had two other talents. He had four altogether. You remember what the Lord said? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many. You remember what he said to the one who had won? He went and hid his talent in the earth. Take your talent from him. Give it to the one that hath ten. Everyone that has shall be given to him that hath not, shall be taken away, even though it's your hat, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. For this weeping and gnashing teeth. God expects fruit from every child. You need to be bearing as much fruit as you possibly can bear. The word, the seed of the kingdom, is being taught, it's being sown today. It's being spread, and people are hearing. The responsibility then is on the individual as to how they receive and respond to the word. Remember, the difference is the preparation of the heart. The kinds of soil represents the condition of the hearts and lives of an individual. And so we need to ask ourselves questions today in regard to this. What kind of heart do I have? Is my heart like the wayside soil that's hard and impenetrable? Is my faith or my heart like the rocky soil that has a thin layer of soil on top of the rocks, and so my faith is based on shallow emotion rather than deep conviction? Is my life filled with the cares and problems of this life? The deceitfulness of riches, as Jesus referred to it, so that your life as a Christian is in danger of being just choked out by the cares and problems of this life? And yes, there's a lot of them. A lot of things you have to deal with. Are you bearing fruit with patience that looks forward to a full harvest? Being able to be with the Father in heaven forever. In that place where there are no trials and tribulations, no pain, no sorrow. Scripture says the former things have passed away. They're no longer there. The only way you can be in that place is to be the good soil that's bringing forth fruit
with patience. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Depends on your life. You have to make the decision. I can't make it for you. What kind of soil is your heart? Is your heart ready and receptive to the Word of God? We're going to sing a song designed to encourage one who might need to obey the gospel of Christ. If you're willing to allow the Word of God to come into your heart, sink down deep, put down roots there, then you can become a faithful, effectual child of God, bearing fruit. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can use this opportunity to do that. If you have, and you've gone back into sin, you've allowed the things of this world to choke your life, and if you've become unfruitful, you can return to the Lord. If you repent of your sins, confess them, ask God to forgive you. He's promised that He will. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for encouragement.